This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just watching highlights on Twitter.com, Doran. O'Neal Cruz from the last couple of years. He was a string bean compared to what he is now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looks like a brick you-know-what house. He's hitting 40.
40?
Yeah, maybe 50. I think I might be underselling him. Maybe 60. He might be threatening Bonds' record by the time this season's over.
Why do you do this?
I'm very excited about the Pirates.
Bad look by you.
The homerism?
No, the jinxing.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, yeah. That's what I did to Pitt. I jinxed Pitt right out of the NCAA tournament. I jinxed the Pirates last year. I jinxed Kenny Pickett. I'm a bad guy. Doug Whaley's a good guy. He joins us on the fan hotline right now, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Good morning, Doug Whaley. How are you, pal?
Well, I was doing all right until you jinxed O'Neal Cruz. When are you going to do the opposite? Why don't you say he's going to lead the majors in strikeouts and only hit 10 homers? How about that?
You know what? He's going to slide into home again. He's going to break his other leg.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
It's still a jinx because you're being sarcastic.
You go too far. Why you got to go too far? You're like the guy that has the answers to the test and gets 100. You got to get like an 89 and 91. Come on, Jeez.
Doug Whaley joining us here on the Fan Morning Show, brought to you by Armstrong Comfort with Matt Mertz Plumbing. All right, Doug, the XFL, man, getting some shine. This new NFL kickoff rule. When you guys all came up with the XFL rules, was the hope that these things would be adopted by the NFL, or is this just a happy accident?
Well, I'll give you the genesis of it. So when we were looking at how to make the XFL really kind of stand out, because when you're an alternative sports league, you need reasons for people to tune in and get eyeballs. And in our research, the fans we polled, the two things that came out of the polling was, one, they were tired of nothing plays, meaning the kickoff, the extra points where nothing really happens. It's a wasted play. And second thing that was top of their list is they didn't want to be complicit in player injuries. So when you look at the XFL rule or the kickoff that is adopted by NFL rules, there's a lot of benefits from it. One, last year, I think kickoffs were 20% returns. So 80% of kickoffs, you might as well not even have them. In the XFL last year, I think we were close to 70%, high 60% of returns. So you're getting action. Second of all, because you're not having those guys run so far, you're eliminating those high velocity hits. Now you may say the returner is going to be running and he can get hit, but the people that are hitting them, one, it's really, if you think about it, it's an outside zone play. So a kickoff returner is just not going to run straight. He's going to have to pick a lane and try to hit that lane, and he'll have to really adjust his speed to really find out where the hole is. From a player standpoint, it's not that foreign. And, Doran, you can relate to this. When you practice kickoffs, you don't practice running from the 30 on down because you would really expose your players to injuries in practice because you want to get 5, 6, 7 reps. So when I was playing, we used to practice kids off just like this. We would start at like the plus 40, so the other 40, and then go down and run in our lanes and practice the covering kicks that way or kick return. Now, the extra benefit as well, and you're seeing it now, is, and this is why the NFLPA probably signed off on it, is jobs for players. Cordell Patterson, right now in the NFL, he's a luxury, but with this new kickoff rule, he's a necessity. Now special teams players, there's got to be importance on guys that can cover kicks, guys that can block on kickoff return. So there's a lot of benefits to this rule now. Is it going to be look a little weird? Change is different and uncomfortable for everybody. But think about 5 years, 10 years ago, would you have been like, oh yeah, I want RPOs in the game? Now it's a steadfast part of the game that you don't even think about. And I think 5 years from now, it's going to be an exciting play, give jobs, reduce injuries, and everybody's going to be like, yeah, that's a rule that at first was a little wonky, but I see why they did it.
So, Doug, leading into, you know, what you were saying about more jobs for players on special teams units, does this new kickoff rule make the Steelers look almost like geniuses from signing Cordero Patterson?
Absolutely. I mean, this is another feather in the personnel department's hat and Omar Khan. It's like, all right, instead of sitting here and saying, I don't like this rule, it is what it is. Let's lead the charge and try to exploit this rule and be the first to make this rule something that we can be at the forefront of and take advantage of. And I think it's smart. It's showing vision. And Wayne Gretzky always has had this famous quote that I truly believe in and I live by. Don't go where the puck is, go where it's going. And that signing shows me that they're thinking, this is the way the NFL is going and the rules. Let's be ahead of the curve.
Doug, the touchback now will be moved to the 30-yard line instead of the 25-yard line. Do you think 5 yards is enough of a penalty to still see teams not try to kick the ball through the end zone the way that they did before?
We had it at the 35, and I'm sorry for not looking up the exact numbers on this, but there is a difference. If you start a drive from the 25, I think there's like a high 20% chance of you scoring. At the 30, it moves up to the low 30s. At the 35, it moves up to the high 30s. So there's a percentage chance of the closer you start to the goal line of, obviously, this is obvious point, the greater chance you have of scoring. So the 30, I thought they'd go to the 35 to incentivize it more, but there is a percentage chance of scoring. And everybody wants scoring, which means more eyeballs, more excitement, which means, obviously, I always bring it back to money, more eyeballs on the game. That means next time they go for media rights, look at our ratings, give us more money.
Doug, what's your thoughts on the new hip drop tackle rule? Is this the beginning of something bigger for the NFL? Will there be more rules like this? Will we eventually be watching flag football out there, which I think is going to happen in at least 20 years? What's your thoughts on the new rule?
I mean, I understand what they're trying to do because of the injury factor. I struggle with the fact that you're having these officials, which have a hard enough job now, to have to be able to put in and really legislate a subjective action. It's going to make their job a lot harder. And from us as fans, we're going to criticize them more because we have the luxury of seeing things in super slow-mo and HD and saying, that guy's got to be dumb. How did he miss that? And Thorne, you've been on the field before. There's a difference between being on the field in an NFL game and seeing something happen when these guys are running 20-some miles per hour and being able to make a judgment call like that. That is going to put these refs in an even more precarious situation. So the long way of answering it, I understand, but I don't like it.
Why not just make it a fining system, Doug, to where you're not penalizing guys on the field, but you're also incentivizing, hey, don't do this?
I think that would be an excellent idea because then you can go back, review the tape, and then take the judgment call out of it in a split-second motion and put it in something where you can review it. Have a panel and say, okay, this is a hip drop tackle, fine. And then players will adjust. Just like when they were talking about blows to the head or tackling people under quarterbacks below the knee, and there was outrage by players at first, but they slowly adopt it. If you started with the fine system, I think they would adopt it, and it would eliminate this without having the effect of the game.
Yeah, my big fear in all this, Doug, like you go back to Super Bowl 34, the famous play where Kevin Dyson of the Titans was tackled by Mike Jones of the Rams, Super Bowl 34, you know, I don't think that's a hip drop tackle. I also think if a ref threw a flag on that as a hip drop tackle, they could have made an argument for why it actually did offend the rule. Like I think this is going to come down in a massive playoff game where it's going to be a gray area, and then we'll spend the entire day after it and weeks and months to follow talking about it.
But here's the issue, Crowley. That's what the NFL wants. They want the NFL to be in the mouth of as many humans in this country, and now they're looking at it in the world 365 as much as possible. And sometimes bad press is still press. As long as we're talking about it and we're dominating, NFL's dominating the airways, they don't really care because they want to dominate the sports world. That's where you got to look at the macro. And as fans, as media, we're like, how can they do it? I'm outraged. But we're still talking about it. And if you look, think about ESPN, think about your show, think about majority of sports shows in this country, 90% of the talk is the NFL, even on the off season, not the during the season, than any other sports. And bad press, like I said, is not always bad press, if that makes sense.
Doug, how much time would you spend in the off season explaining these new rules? Like, you know, the players are going to report in probably about a week. They usually report early April. How much time, if you're a GM, if you're a head coach, if you're a position coach, are you going to spend explaining the rules to the players so they know the ins and outs whenever they do hit the field of what you can do and what you can't do?
Oh, you're going to have a whole day where you're going to bring in officials and you're going to have plays queued up and you're going to sit them down and say, here's these new rules. And every year there's rules of emphasis, which I think is really funny because if it's a rule, it should be emphasized. It shouldn't just be like, well, let's say this rule this year, we're going to emphasize it. No, so that's another subject we can talk about some other time. But what you do is, like I said, during practices, you have officials there to help instruct them what they will be looking for, but you're going to have sit down and probably, like I said, a whole day where there's like, here are the new things that you guys have to be aware of and what we're really going to be looking for this year. And then once you get in camp, then you always go out there, especially when they have days where they're really kind of almost scrimmaging, inter-squad scrimmaging, you're going to have officials there to help them say, these players like, no, watch out, or hey, this is what we're looking for, to really get that atop of their mind when they're out there practicing to get them ready for the year.
Doug, you said earlier, all press can be good press. I will disagree as it relates to Art Rooney II. I'll explain that coming up next. We'll talk about his comments from the NFL owners' meetings with Doug Whaley when we return. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Wednesday with Doug Whaley. He joins us for the full 9 o'clock hour, talking about the NFL owners' meetings. Yesterday, Art Rooney II, he spoke with the media, and he said that he and the Steelers were initially opposed to this kickoff rule. Basically, the way I read between the lines is it's a pretty big change. And the Steelers, well, they're more conservative. But then he said, well, when he found out it was going to get passed, he decided to vote yes. And I could speculate on the whys on that, Doug, but why would an owner not want a rule and then vote yes just because he knows the rule is going to pass? What's the strategery there?
Well, I think reading into it, he was opposed to it just because of the change. And a lot of people, most people, are resistant to change. But if he understands that this is for the betterment of the league, it's betterment of the players, and it's going to bring more excitement, and everybody else is on board, why am I going to resist something just because of me being stubborn and saying I just don't want to change? That's how I read into it. He's taking himself out of it and putting on his league hat and betterment of the game hat. That's what I think.
Doug, do you think that the Steelers had the framework of a contract already laid out for Cordarrelle Patterson, and then when the rule passed, that's when they're like, okay, we'll sign you to this? Do you think if the rule didn't pass that they wouldn't have signed him to a contract?
I think it became more important when it did. I think they may have been in talks with him before, like you said, because of his connection with Arthur Smith, and then him being made, you can do him as a fourth wide receiver, as a special teams guy, not only as a return guy, but as a coverage guy. So I think that he was probably in their plans, but it got a lot more hot on the stove once this rule passed, and they said, let's get it done.
Doug, this is a just out-of-the-box question here for you. I have to cover Pitt Pro Day today, and I was thinking, and outside of the 40-yard dash and the shuttle and the vertical, should players in Pro Days, should they be wearing pads? Like, would you get more beneficial evaluation of guys if they were doing their one-on-one individual drills if they're in pads, especially quarterbacks? I mean, sitting back there, no rush. I mean, I get it, and you could see them throw and launch the ball, but wide receivers, corners, should they be in pads moving around like it's actual practice or an actual game?
So for me, I wouldn't really care about that. But what reason I go to when I was in the league and go to pro days and what I got out of it, it was less about how fast they run, or I would look at how they did what they did. When the short shuttle, was he able to bend at the hips and not at the waist? Was he explosive when he can put his foot in the ground and change direction? But most importantly, the two other things that I thought was most important were how they interacted with their teammates. And lastly, how were they able to take instruction and perform at a high level without having to repeat it, or be able to decipher what a coach is saying and wants out of a drill, and be able on that first time to perform at a high level doing that drill, not knowing that drill, what is expected from that drill from before. You can practice the 40. You can practice short shuttle. You can practice the 3-cone. I didn't really care about that. What I wanted is when a position coach said, let's do this drill, and it's the first time they ever were having to do this drill, can they take that information in, synthesize it, and then be able to perform that drill, like I said, at a high level? So with pads, I can understand where you're coming from, and I would be in favor of a quarterback because he's got to throw in pads. But all the other positions, I really wouldn't want to. It wouldn't make a difference to me.
I have another Art Rooney quote that I want to run by you in a second here, Doug. But let's stick with pro days for a second. I'll never forget, because I did the same thing, when Malik Willis dropped that 70-yard bomb at his Liberty Pro Day, and you see Mike Tomlin in the corner of the frame, and his mouth is basically agape, and he was looking giddy at the possibilities for this kid. But then you find out, well, they wanted Kenny Pickett. They draft Kenny Pickett 20th overall. Would coaches, would executives, general managers, in your experience, ever go to Pro Days just so they were seen at Pro Days, or react to certain players a certain way so that it looks like they're more interested than they actually are?
No doubt about it. I mean, I'll tell you this much. We did it one year. We actually flew to have dinner with a prospective player 2 days before the draft, so people thought we were really interested in him. And we didn't even have the guy in the top 5 rounds. But let's throw some smoke screens out there. Let the media get a hold of it. Let other teams know what we're doing. So they're like, oh, well, maybe they are interested. This is the best season for GMs because there's so many tactical moves that you can make that you hope to influence other teams. It's really a mind game that it was the most intriguing part of the industry for me.
Well, and to that, J.J. McCarthy is sliding up everybody's draft boards right now. I happen to think it's a smokescreen, Doug, because I just don't see any universe where I'd rather have that guy than, like, Drake May. Do you think that's all smokescreen stuff, or are teams really falling in love with J.J. McCarthy?
Well, here's the issue. That information, a lot of times, comes from agents. Agents tell media members. Media members put it out there for everybody, and then because most people aren't in those draft rooms, you have to believe, oh, he's moving up. And a perfect example is Justin Fields, they're going to get a second-round pick for him. No, that's what the agent was out there to try to drum up interest, and maybe even the Bears to try to drum up interest. You don't go from a second-round pick to the sixth-round pick. That second-round pick was put out there from the media. The inside, the NFL people, they didn't want to give up a second-round pick for Justin Fields. His value was a sixth-round pick. So when you see these guys always sliding up to the board, or especially during draft day when a guy slides down the draft, he didn't slide down the draft for NFL front offices. He slides down the draft because the media put him up there. The NFL, they don't draft off of media predictions or media what all the media proponents say. They draft off of what they paid their scouts to do and what they pay their GMs to think. So people really have to be careful of saying, well, Mel Kiper has him here. So all these NFL teams, because they have him going in with the fifth and J.J. McCarthy ends up going 30th, then something must be wrong. All these NFL guys are wrong. If these media people like myself were that good, they'd be picking players for teams. So just be careful with that. That's all I say.
Do you think J.J. McCarthy's good? Do you think he's going to go top 10?
I don't think he's going to go top 10. I think he's a solid quarterback. I think he's one of those guys where you look at like a Jimmy Garoppolo without the injury history. He's always going to do the right thing. He's going to put that ball right where it needs to be. He's the type of guy that could do a 12 to 15 play drive and always hit the right guy. And that's really hard for a young guy because young guys don't have that intensity or that consistency or the ability not to really go out and take that big chunk play, or the consistency to always make the right throw. You have those ups and downs, especially at that quarterback for young guys, and I think he's wise among his years that way, but physically, I think there's a limitation on where he goes. Will he go in top 10? You never know. It only takes one team. In a normal draft, you would probably take him in second round, but because quarterback is such a valued position, I could see him going into the middle to bottom half of the first round.
Wednesday with Doug Whaley continues until 10 o'clock. Doug wants us to ask him about the Penguins. He's got a Penguins take he wants to get off his chest, so we'll do that. I have an Art Rooney II quote that I want to run past him and a draft question for him, Doran Dickerson.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, we got a lot of Steelers stuff to get to with Doug Whaley. It is a Wednesday with Whaley, but Doug texted me and Doran and said, I got a Penguins take to run past you guys and see if you can poke some holes in it. All right, Doug, shoot, man. I'm excited about this.
All right, everybody knows I've been in Dallas. This will be my 6 weeks. So the Pens play the Stars the other day. So I'm like, I got to go support my squad. Now, Dallas is obviously first in the Central Division, first in the Western Conference, and second in the NHL. So they're a very good team. So I'm sitting in the stands and I'm thinking, wow, this must have what opposing fans felt like coming into PPG Arena watching their team play the Pens like 5 years ago. They were faster, they were stronger, they were crisper, they were a really good team, and it was evident they were a better team than the Pens. Knowing where the Pens are, I was management, ownership, Kyle Dubas, I would go to Letang and Crosby saying, I have so much respect for you and what you've brought to this organization, this franchise, and this city. We are too far away for you to languish your last couple years of productivity in the pen. Tell me where you want to be traded, and I will trade you to that team and try to get a haul of picks to begin the foundation of bringing the Pens back to where they need to be. Poke holes in that.
I don't hate it at all. The only thing that I would change is I would do it next year. I would give Kyle Dubas one more opportunity, one more offseason, and maybe Mike Sullivan one more chance to play young guys and see if you can contend for a playoff spot next year. And if next year looks like this year, I would approach Sid and say, hey, man, we would love to keep you. We would love to keep you. We would love you to finish your career here. But if you don't want to be here, we're giving you the opportunity to leave. I would wait one more year.
Let me jump in. So you just your goal next year and to keep them one more year is to win a playoff series and waste their last another year of their productivity to win a playoff series. That's what you're saying. I'm just asking.
I would leave it up to them to determine whether or not it's good enough to just be in contention, because I do think even those guys have to know that they're not winning a championship here.
Gotcha. All right, go ahead, Dorn.
No, I would.
Listen to Doug. He's hosting the show. He's taking full reins of the show.
Taking over. Look at him. I would get rid of everybody else but Crosby. I'd keep him as a piece, as a transition piece, because he hasn't slowed up. He's still playing at a high level, and money wise, and Doug, you know this better than anybody. I mean, revenue wise, he's still gonna sell merch, and people are gonna still buy tickets to watch him. I would have him as that transition piece for that rebuild. I would never trade Crosby, and just for his legacy, I would want him as a Penguin forever. So, I know that doesn't matter for the immediate time right now because it's not helping your team, but it is helping your team because he is playing at a high level. But everybody else would be on the table to help start this rebuild.
Okay. All right, we can go back.
We're allowed to go back. You gave us permission to go back to football, Doug. Thank you.
You trust me now?
Of course we trust you.
It is Wednesday's way late. You know, that's what I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't even have my name on the show. We're his fan morning show. You're right. You got Wednesday with Whaley. All right, so Art Rooney II, Doug, and that was a good conversation. Art talked about the NFLPA player survey, and he said, quote, it doesn't get presented to us. It gets presented to the media. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a media opportunity for the Players Association as opposed to a serious effort of constructive criticism, end quote. Do you think he's alone in thinking that, or do you think that's the overarching opinion of these owners?
I think it's the overarching opinion of the owners because they don't have a chance to really get in there and spin it the way they want to spin it. If it's an anonymous survey by the players to ask them their true feelings about what is going on in their work environment, I don't understand how he can say that. Now, obviously, if you're on the end of it and you're receiving an F, you're obviously going to say, well, give me a chance to respond or let me get my say in this survey. Now, it'd be interesting if next year he gets an A. I'd like to hear his response to that survey.
That's
then.
Right. You're always allowed to get A's. Like, you're allowed to have the greatest facilities. You're allowed to provide child care.
Right. Exactly. So I understand where he's coming from, and I'd probably say the same thing if I was him. But for me, it's an anonymous survey, and it's someone's true feeling. I would rather him say, I understand where there's coming from, and I will work to get better. We all need to get better. We need to get better on the field. We need to get better in the front office. And me as an owner, that's under me, and we're going to strive to get better. And every day, you either get better or worse, and today I'm going to try to get better, and we're going to address some of these issues that we found in that survey.
Doug, do you think this is a proponent for the NFLPA to almost mandate a certain amount of money every single year for every NFL team to spend on renovating and upgrading their facilities? Whenever they come in, it's like a home inspection. They have somebody that they send around at the end of every year or, a couple months into the summer. And it's like, have you spent this amount of money on your facilities? Are they upgraded? Are they up to par? And if they're not, then maybe you dock a draft pick or something like that.
Well, I don't know if they'll ever get to that, but what do we all do? We look at Yelp reviews. We look at reviews. What's this restaurant? What's their star rating? it's really a review on the organization from top to bottom. And sometimes, and I think a lot of times, it may play into a free agent's decision. If everything's equal, let me see who has the best childcare, who has the best facility, who has the best training staff, who's the owner is the best. So that can be a deciding factor, just like when you go and stack players on the board. And this, when everybody talks about pro days and the combine, sometimes it's not that elevated the guy from a first round to the top of the first round. It means these two guys are similar. Well, okay, let's look at the pro days and who had a better pro day. So it might be the deciding factor. And I think that's, if I was an owner, that's how I would look at this. Let me put my best foot forward, because it could help me land a Russell Wilson. And it might be the deciding factor between Russell coming to us or going somewhere else.
Doug, am I allowed to ask you a draft question next, or do you want to talk about the Pirates?
Well, go. Hey, I'll go wherever you want. It's your show, man. I'm just a guest living in your world.
We love you, Doug. One more segment with Doug Whaley. I have a draft question for him upcoming. Doran Dickerson has sprinted out of here. He said, Crowley, how much do you love me? I said, a lot. He said, I got to go. I said, okay. And so Doran left. Now he's heading down to Pitt's Pro Day. He's got stuff to do with the program. I think he's going to be on ACC Network, Callis. I think he's doing a big boy show with the network.
Congrats to him and all his success.
How much time do you think they'll spend talking about actual football, and how much time do you think they'll spend bitching, moaning, complaining about the NCAA selection committee? Probably a fair amount.
Yeah.
The 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. It is Wednesday with Doug Whaley. Doug, how about that? Doran's like, I'm heading out. I got to go help Pitt.
Well, I'm about to throw one on top of that. I'm in my hotel, and there's a fire alarm going off, and I have to get out of the building. So,
wait.
Wow, you may have to bring this home by yourself. Can you hear it in the background?
I cannot hear it in the background. Are you in any imminent danger? Do you believe this to be a drill, or do you think you think the building's really burning down around you?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm going to go outside and find out. I'm not going to sit there and try to guess. So I'm in the stairway right now, going down.
Do you have to leave, Doug? Because that's okay if you have to.
Oh, no, I don't. I mean, as long as you don't mind me walking outside. Hold on here.
Callis, you need a bathroom break? Everyone else want to leave me? Everyone want to desert me? All right, Doug, I got one final question here for you then.
Yeah.
Let's say the Steelers and Omar Khan strike out. They can't come up with another wide receiver deal in free agency, or they can't swing a deal for a trade for a wide receiver. They don't wind up with a center. Is it possible to address center, tackle, corner, and wide receiver with the 7 picks that they have in the draft? Is that realistic?
I think it is realistic. I think you go tackle in the first round. You go, if that center's there in the second round, center, then get a DB or wide receiver in the third. I'd probably go DB in the third and wide receiver in the fourth, because they've been really adept at getting wide receivers later in the draft. And like Coach Tomlin said, and I've said before, it's easier nowadays for these wide receivers to make that adjustment more quickly than in the past. So you can be very productive with late round receivers by picking late round receivers. Their productivity can assimilate quicker than in years past.
Doug, Mike Tomlin said that the way they looked at the deal with Deontay Johnson for the corner they got in Carolina, they were looking at it as a player-for-player swap, and that Deontay Johnson did not ask out. If they are looking at that as a player-for-player swap, I think they lost that deal significantly. Do you buy it? Because I know Deontay did not want to be here.
That's a Tomlin spin on it, and he's wordsmithing how it played out, but I'm with you. You're not going to the caliber of player that you gave up for the caliber of player that you received. He's coming off an Achilles injury, didn't play well last year, had no ball production, didn't have any interceptions, and you're giving up a player that, granted, he didn't score a lot of touchdowns the last 2 years, but he was still a highly productive number two wide receiver. Yes, I think he's just trying to make them look good and trying to save face to saying that we wanted this guy out of there.
All right, last couple of things for you, Doug. Number one, if there's smoke, you're supposed to go lower than the smoke. And if you do happen to catch fire, stop, drop, and roll, all right?
No, I'm outside now, so I'm good.
Thank God. All right, Doug, thanks for jumping on, man. Always appreciate it.
No, hey, and then I'll see you in person next week.
Let's
and then
go.
And I won't hijack the program next week unless I come up with something.
Which you will. Thank you, Doug. You're the man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas. Take care. Bye.
That's Doug Whaley, Wednesday with Doug Whaley. I hope everything's okay at the hotel, but it sounds like he's safe, and that's really, frankly, all I actually care about. Joe Starkey's coming up next. We have a Pirate preview tomorrow. We got Bucko baseball tomorrow, baby!
Hooray!
Let's go right here on 93.7 The Fan. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Save some green in March at Sun Chevy or sunchevy.com. Today, high of 62, low of 44.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.